Okay. I'm Michelle. I'm an alcoholic. And I don't know where Trevor is, but thank you, Trevor, for inviting me. Yeah, I don't like when I'm recorded because I have such a husky voice, and I'm so self-centered that whatever. Everybody says I should have been a 911. I mean, what's the sex operator one? Whatever. Those days are long gone for this 61-year-old. Anyways, but at one time, I would have been all over that OnlyFans. Right? Give me some money, and it'd have been a lot easier drinking with that going on. But anyways, I'm just trying to lighten up. I was a little nervous, and my sobriety date is June 28th of 1998. My home group is the Bellflower Big Book group. We meet on Monday nights, and I have a sponsor. Her name is Pat White. And I'm in good stead with all three of those things. And thank you so much, Chris. I'm so proud of you. And I'm so proud that, she built that bridge with her mom for communication. Because I'm one of those kind of people in Alcoholics Anonymous that think all of those things are why we're here once we get sober. I'm a sister, I'm an aunt. I'm a daughter, I'm a cousin. I'm all of those things. And Alcoholics Anonymous was able to reunite me through years of work, actually, and amends to reunite me back with my family. I started drinking as a very young girl. I won't go into all of it. I come from, my mother moved here from Kansas with five kids. I have a twin brother, and we're the youngest of the five. And my birth father, he was an alcoholic. He was a very handsome alcoholic. I've seen pictures. And he was a big gambler and a drinker. I don't know what stories are true and what stories aren't, because I was one when he committed suicide. He pulled into our garage, and I don't know how exactly it works, but he gassed himself in the car. And so I was never told anything. I didn't know anything that little. When I was 6 years old, we were really poor. I didn't know we were poor. I was comfortable. I was getting in a lot of mischief. Always an extremely mischievous child. If you hurt my feelings when I was little, I was going to get you back. And like the girl next door was bragging about going on vacation, and we didn't have money to do vacations. We were like a blue chip stamp family. And because it was only my mom taking care of us all in a 2-bedroom house, we lived next door to the Hells Angels. And so this girl just bragged too much. And so I got all my little friends together. And when she went on vacation, I had them help me drag all her trash she had left out for trash day back to her doughboy pool, lifted the lid, and we dumped all the trash in her doughboy pool. And where does a 6-year-old come up with this idea? I do not know. And I was capable of getting it done. And so I remember they got home from their vacation, and this is going to be the story of my life for a long time. They're knocking on the door, and I'm doing blue chip stamps with my mom. We all know that feeling of impending doom. Even before we take our first drink, we know it. And I knew, oh, it's going to go down. And so she's at the door, and she starts yelling at my mom, "Do you know what your daughter did?" And she proceeds to tell my mom, supposedly, I dumped trash cans in her doughboy pool and got the neighbors to all do it with me. And my mom looked at me. She said, "Did you do that, Michelle Irene?" And I said, "No." And I just tears start rolling down my face. I didn't do it. And She said, "You heard her. Now get out of the house. Get off my front porch." And I was gonna, that kind of gave me a free pass to get into a lot more things. So then I meet this man on our couch one morning, and he had a suit on, and it was early, and my mom said they had just gone back from church. Now my family didn't go to church. And so I was like, okay, here we go. And we all lie in my family, I guess. And so about 3 months later, they're married. And he had four children, and as Irish Catholic as you can get. The last name is Fleming. Every name is an Irish name, redhead freckles. And their mother had committed suicide in their home, alcoholism and pills. And so they're going to put all nine of us together. And it was wild to say the least. Seriously, it lasted 29 years until my father passed away. And but there was no lack of action when there's five boys, four girls, alcoholic siblings, drug addict siblings, and I want to say heavy drinking parents, because they never, I mean, I don't know. My mom managed till the day she died with a Crown Royal and a cigarette. So I don't know that she qualifies, because I could never do that. That would have been my dream. That would have been so dreamy to be 83 and in a bikini to still embarrass my brothers to holy hell, like in a two-piece at 83, going down to San Clemente. She lived in San Clemente, and oh, my brothers would just be horrified. My one brother ended up in therapy over her, and I said, "Just let her be." And he like wrote her names on the bottom of his shoes. Like, I guess that's a therapeutic thing. I'm like, that sounds abusive. And right? I don't know, but whatever. So I start drinking. And sorry, I'm always this way too. I don't know why you get asked to speak. Just kind of go with me here. So I am an alcoholic. Maybe that's why. If I wasn't at this podium, I'd be sitting there just like you. I'm an alcoholic, is what I am. And so I start drinking at home, and my stepfather, who I called my father, was a Anheuser-Busch distributor, and so we could drink beer in the house even at a little age, and we could drink anything that was in the house. And so then I'm around 13. My family moves to Riviera. I started at they started us at Marco Forster. I don't know if I was quite 13 actually, but I started out at Marco Forster, and then they opened Shore Cliffs, and we moved. We were living in Riviera, and all these people. You got to remember how much older I am than a lot of you, but our game of the day wasn't like beer pong, like my kid. It was truth or dare and spin the bottle. And so we take all the booze we can. We go down to Riviera, and we start drinking. And there's no new one. There's nothing, no better way for me to describe what alcohol did for me, except it just like, I'm gonna be all right. I'm gonna be all right. Alcohol put the nerves back in my skin. And I've got to tell you, my mom was kind of obsessed with looks, and I didn't really measure up. I was a tomboy. And so she put me on diet pills at 13, right? And I'm not talking like, oh, you just go buy them, you know, at CVS. Like, they were a prescription. And so you know they got me all jacked up. And so we're down there at the beach that night, and I mean, no disrespect to Alcoholics Anonymous, because you'll see I'm an alcoholic from the tip of my toes to the top of my head. But that night I had been taking those diet pills. I was a little nervous. I'm drinking, and then they start passing a joint around. And I was never a pot smoker, really, on a regular basis. Only if I needed to like make sure my heart stayed in my chest would I smoke pot. And I know a lot of us have done that cycle. You know what I mean? You drink and then you do too much blow. So then you gotta like smoke a joint to put that back in. It's like a vicious circle. And but that's where I was leading. And my parents decided at the end of my ninth grade year that we were moving to Downey. If you know geographics, like you go from rainbows and bikinis and Riviera Beach to Downey, khakis and all that. And I was like, not happy yet about this whatsoever. So I decided I was going to run away for the first time. And I hitchhiked back to San Clemente. I threw a raging party in my parents' house they had just sold. And the lady, I know she's passed now, but her name was Ann Bemis. And she called the police. And so they had to come down. I was crying. First time I'm gonna hear the word potential. I did hear that quite a bit, not even knowing what the word meant. Michelle, you have so much potential. Why do you drink? And I don't know. Put the nerves back in my skin, maybe breathe in and out a lot easier. Help me be around the human race. I didn't say anything. I just cried. And so you get in a lot of trouble with your parents at that age. And then by the time I'm 15, I have a fake ID to the Mississippi Moonshine. And it was on Paramount Boulevard. And it was my home away from home. I love that bar. I loved everything about it. And I thought I was 21. My parents were traveling a lot because Mitchell and I are the youngest of the nine. And my brother converted to become a Catholic. And so, he's a favorite. And like he would study in order to get good grades. He would go out, he would come home in the same night. He would like, probably nobody in this room can do that. Seriously, because once you start drinking, you're like, no, just a little longer. No, I'm gonna stay longer. And then forget it. I can't go home now. And so I put my twin brother through a lot, because not only did I have the freedom of the public school boys, but then I had Catholic school boys too. And that really embarrassed him. And to make a long story short, because I was a really active drinker, I got in a lot of trouble, even driving drunk before I had a legal driver's license. I took the photo mat down in Downey on accident. And I've had a lot of car accidents. One time when Zoom was going on, was a birthday girl, the Zoom was going on and people could like break in on you. Some guy said, you might not need AA, you might need driving school. And I was like, okay, have you ever driven drunk? And but I always insisted on driving. And when it started catching up to me was I turned 18. I'm always in trouble, you guys. They're always, my dad's telling me, you need to learn how to work and how to play and separate the two. By now, I drink whiskey. Whiskey's my favorite, and tequila. And I did a lot of things, I mean, there's probably, I never did heroin. I ate it. I never like shot it. So I don't even consider doing it. But there's not a drug I have not done. They had a lot of pills like going around in the 80s. And I'm trying to think of that one pill. Tim would probably know what it is. Quaalude, that's it. Oh, that one was trouble. And one time I was at a party, I remember having a great time. And then this girl said, oh, you gotta try these. And I didn't say, what do they do? I said, okay. And I took them. And all I remember is coming to the next morning, and the parents of the girl who had the party are pulling the shower curtain to the shower open and scream, "There's a girl in the bathtub." So I guess I went night night on those. And so yeah, I try to stick to drinking as much as possible. And so I started getting DUIs once I was 18. And they tried to put me in my first, Budweiser had an employee assistance program. And they, when I was 18 years old, they put me in my first rehab. I had accidentally hit this house. I was at one bar called the Sports Page, getting drunk enough to go to the other bar. And I forgot to turn. I ended up literally in their house. And they said, well, I said, I wasn't driving. And they said, well, why are your sandals under the gas pedal? And I thought I could cry and cry. I said, my mother beats me. My, it's all kinds of things. And nothing worked that time. So they took me to Downey to transfer me to Norwalk. I ended up in Norwalk a lot. And from Norwalk, the women go to Civilbrand. And I was scared. I was never in Civilbrand a long time, only 2 days. 2 days too long for me. And but you adapt. I think all of us in here can adapt. And I never thought of the tears in my mom's eyes or my dad quit speaking to me. I never thought of what I did to my family members. I didn't know what was wrong with me, but so they sent me to Genesis in Laguna Beach. And that was where I first met Patio. And I was 18 years old. And I thought I was too young to be an alcoholic, plus I was a girl. And I did. And I couldn't imagine, what do you do on your wedding night? It's not supposed to drink. And right? Like, what about, you know, I can't say it, but okay. So I did not stay sober. A lady, Polly P, used to go to Bellflower Big Book back then. And I lived in Downey, so it was close by. So after I got out of rehab, I went there. And well, my mom dropped me off and threw my shoes out in front of Bellflower. It was so embarrassing. And so I go there, and I still think I'm too young to be an alcoholic. I really do. And by the time I'm 21, I had been arrested several more times. I had broke into my family's house. I was selling off my family's things. And I was a complete alcoholic. By the time I was 21 years old, I turned 21 in December 11th and January 10th. Of 1985, I was back in Genesis South Coast Unit. I was just a month into being 21. I was bloated with alcoholism. I was a mess, and I was an alcoholic, and I knew it, and I surrendered. And Patty became my sponsor. And then another one of our members that passed, in fact, this meeting where it used to be at Crown Valley, I used to attend that meeting in the 80s, and Lynn Wilder got me a slot at New Directions for Women, and I went there. And I was surrounded by really, really good people, and I still am today. It's not enough to keep me sober. It is not enough, just so you know, to keep me sober. I have tried to live off of other people's approval, all kinds of things. And until I developed a relationship with God and took the 12 steps and started studying the traditions, did I find any peace in my sobriety. And so I started a young people's meeting off El Toro Road. And I'm really worried about the time. What time do I stop? Okay, so I'll get into this because I did not stay sober. Okay, so I stayed sober for 12 years. I moved up. I met my husband at the young people's meeting. We started dating. He was in a men's stag group. They were very structured. And so I don't know how to explain it. Wait, I'm trying to be very respectful. And At any rate, I moved out to Bellflower with Patty's blessing, and because Boy Meets Girl on AA campus, and we started dating, and then we got married, and we were both active members of that group also, and we sponsored people and had sponsors and were involved in convention work. And I remember one time I was super insulted. This man told me, whatever ladder you're trying to climb here in AA, it's gonna fall. And I was like, jeez, sorry, maybe you need another commitment. And he was right. He was so right. You can't just run around like a chicken with your head cut off and get serenity. And so I couldn't. And eventually my sponsor moved away. I shared a little bit with the 1 year birthday. She shared a story a little with me, and that her sponsor had moved. And my sponsor was Gloria Decker at that time, and she moved. And my husband, I told my husband, it's either that group or what I call regular AA. And men don't like ultimatums. And I swear there was like, I don't know, five, six Harleys pull up at my house, and you pack as much as they can in the saddlebags and move them into his sponsors. Just like that, he's gone. And I was like, oh my God, there's no divorce in my family at all. And okay, and my dad's dying. He's been diagnosed with bone cancer, and he never smoked a day in his life. And so my whole family started to fall apart, and they did fall apart over money, property, and prestige. And all of a sudden, we weren't a family of nine anymore. It was them against us. And my heart was broken. And my marriage, I'm going through a divorce. I have a son, a little boy, and I start going. Pam and I had met each other, and we start going to AA dances. I moved a bunch of girls into my house to meet the mortgage, and I'm like, oh, okay. I remember my sponsor had moved away, so I'm sponsoring myself, and I'm the secretary of the Bellflower Big Book Group, which is a big meeting. And I'm forgetting to book speakers. I'm wearing my dancing clothes as secretary. And Johnny, the founder's just mad as heck at me. He says, you go to the barbershop long enough, you're going to get a haircut. I'm like, I go to a beauty shop. I don't even go to a barbershop. I was such a smart. And so this is what I did. Okay, I'm a girl that went out too, like our other 1 year birthday, and at 12 years sober, and I start going to these dances, and I think, you know, an old idea came up. I gotta slim up. I'm too chubby, so I'm gonna start taking diet pills. So I buy all these mini thins, and then I'm like, well, they weren't working like the other ones, so I'm like, I'm gonna just chop them up and start snorting them so it goes in quicker. Who thinks like that but one of us? So of course I'm the last to leave the dance, and right up, and I met like all these new friends that belong to another 12-step fellowship. And I don't believe that joke is right that was told, just saying. I mean, after 12 steps you can't dance. I can. I belong on a stage, even now. I have a stage name. Her name is Chanel. And I also have a Miguelita, but I can't tell you about that because I don't have time. But a lot of people knew me as Miguelita. And so that the AA dances, I met all my new friends. I started going to their fellowship. I had not a tattoo. Nobody in my family had a tattoo. I ended up with all these tattoos. I was wearing Pendletons. I was throwing my shoulders back, and I was like, what's up? My mom was like, I'm so glad those are going to wash off. And I told her that they were, you know, like a fake. And so then pretty soon that whole world, I kind of got tired of the Pendletons. There's nothing I could do about all the tattoos. And so I started clubbing. And I thought, now I've learned enough in AA, I could go to a club and I could drink like a lady. I always wanted to drink like a lady. And I went to this big bar that had opened in Newport and ordered, and I was with other sober girls. Really bad, and I sponsored them. Very bad example. I know. I know it. I can be a bad example even now. And I'm a human being. Don't put me on a pedestal. I will let you down. Only human here. So I never made it like sitting like a lady at all. I started drinking with a vengeance, and the next 2 years I fought the bottle. And when I say I fought the bottle, I mean I literally fought the bottle. And I was a single mom. My Cody was so little, and I remember the first night I left him alone. I told myself after I got him to sleep, I said, "I'll be up. I'll be back before he wakes up in the morning. He'll never even know I'm gone. I'm just going to go down to the bar for a couple drinks." And at like 8:30 in the morning, I'm sneaking in the house from Cody not to wake him up, like I used to from my parents. And I ended up looking up the top of the stairs, and he must have woken up in the middle of the night looking for me. And I wish I could tell you that just happened once or twice, but what we do to our children aren't just stories that you hear about in these rooms. I used to judge the people that did these kind of things to their children because I was a sober mom for a long time. But once I started drinking, all bets are off. And at the very end of my drinking, before I got sober again, Cody was bringing me a bucket because my favorite place was in my closet. It was dark, it was small and manageable. I had a bottle, a pipe, and I was very sick all the time. And Cody would bring me a bucket to throw up in and say, "Mommy, we're going to be okay again. Mommy, we'll be okay again." They don't understand the difference. They think it's a wee thing. And I thought I wasn't hurting anybody but myself. Yeah, right. And so eventually what happened is a bunch of girls did a 12-step call on me. I'm going to just speed this up right now because I talked way too long on the other stuff. And they 12-stepped me, they wrapped me in blankets. I was like Chris, I couldn't shower, I couldn't brush my teeth, I was shaking. And they took me to a meeting in Irvine. And it was the start of my sobriety, January. The following day would be January 28th. They stayed with me that night, they fed me honey. They stayed with me, Women in Alcoholics Anonymous stayed with me for probably 2 weeks to help take care of Cody and myself. And I thought I was a loser. I didn't think I could regain my sobriety again. And a lady named Ann Wood got a hold of me, and she said, "Michelle, nobody has sunk too low or too discredited to be welcome back here." And I didn't know that's in our book of Alcoholics Anonymous. I thought she made it up. But she saved my life that day, and she made me go to Seal Beach for my first year of my sobriety. Because I have restraining orders at my home group, and such a bad girl, and so, and I wasn't allowed to share from the podium for 5 years, and I thought, oh, she's so jealous of me, and she just cared about me. She knew she could see right through me. I've always had strong sponsorship. I've always had a tremendous amount of respect for sponsorship because I'm the kind of girl that needs a sponsor. And I appreciate, I've had less than five sponsors in my two sobrieties. I eventually went back to Patio because she's always my main squeeze. And I had a love affair with her that I'm so lucky. I'm so blessed that I had her and that we were as close as we were. She used to not be very affectionate, like at all. Like I'd put my hand on her leg, some real touchy, and she'd lift it off. And, I know. But before she died, she was the one holding my hand. And I was one of her main caretakers the last 4 years of her life. And it was a gift. I quit my job so that I could do that. And I had already lost my mom by then. I had already lost somebody else by then. I had lost my dog. I mean, it was just like loss after loss. And Patty ended up gifting me in a way that only probably you guys will appreciate here. It isn't financial at all. My mom was buried in San Clemente at the Memorial Garden, and where she went to church, and Patty and I started going to church at a different session than her. But Patty bought the cremation box next to my mom because she said it would be easier for me to visit them both. Yeah, money cannot buy you that, right? And I never had like long-term relationships like that. So I think that I'm supposed to stop soon. I do. All right. I just don't want to overtalk. There's nothing worse than someone who talks too long. You could totally love the speaker and then they like overtalk and you're like, Yellowstone is on tonight. I taped it. My husband, oh, I got back with my ex-husband, you guys. So I'll tell you a little bit about that. So we are free entertainment in AA. I mean, now you have Bravo, but back in those days, it was Todd and Michelle Lyon. And like he would date in AA, I'd ruin every relationship he had. And I really would. I would haunt him and I would act like I wanted him back just long enough to ruin his relationship. And I was still so resentful. I was the worst dater ever, ever. I tried to date all around here. And I've tried a golfer, a biker, you know it, and this and that, cheater, you know it. And I just was not a good dater. I've never had those skills. And I did fall in love one other time and at the powwow and we lived together. We lived together for a couple of years and I knew it when I saw him from my balcony. I told the girls I sponsor, I said, I'm gonna marry him. And anyways, but what I didn't take into consideration is how different we were. It matters a lot. And he was a very heavy drug user in his past. And I thought he had a lot more time sober than he did, but come to find out, he was carrying my chips on his chain. And he worked in rehab and he got really confused. And I'm not putting down anybody that works in rehab at all, but there's a difference. And Patio taught me this. It's like there's a difference in working in rehab and in a program of Alcoholics Anonymous. They're two separate things. And his weren't separate. And one day I came home and I'm like, I'm gonna call your sponsor. And I was fighting with him from the other room because I woke up in the middle of the night and he was running around in green camouflage gear and a headlamp. And I'm like, and everybody at my woman's meeting on Thursday night was telling me, he's using again. I said, no, he's having a mental breakdown from work. And my sponsor, Patty, was really mad at me. And but anyways, so that day I went in there finally to confront him, and he had overdosed in the bathtub. He was fully dressed, and people that do those kind of drugs will know, you know, he was dripping the water to open a vein. And he probably thought he was gonna do that the way that he did it when he was younger. And he combusted and died. And it was horrible. And my solution for that was I thought that I should just go to my mom's in San Clemente and stay there for quite a long time. And nope, Patty, always everywhere. I'm gonna come and get you. I said, I'm in no condition to go to a meeting. This just happened Friday. She goes, yeah, and it's the following Thursday. And I go, I'm in no condition, Patty. And she goes, you're not supposed to be in any condition to go to AA. You forgot what you in the shape you came here. She said, you told me that you wouldn't let anything own you. or put it before AA. She goes, you're going to the woman's meeting. And so she came, got me. She took me to the woman's meeting, the Thursday night, 6 o'clock meeting. And you know how those meetings are, like, you know, the worse off you are, they call on you. And I'm crying and everything. And then, but afterwards, here's a miracle of Alcoholics Anonymous. I know I'm almost done. I keep saying that. I'm so afraid to be late. But this girl raised her hand and she started crying, and she had one day sober. Her name's Allison. And she had just left a situation and a person at home. He hadn't died. He was still alive, but he was doing that same stuff. And she asked me to be her sponsor, and she saved my life. I do not sponsor her today. But she's still a dear, dear, dear to my heart. I think she saved my life that day. That's the way AA works. So I say the third step prayer a lot, and I say the seventh step prayer a lot. Where can I be useful? Remove whatever is in front of me so I can be useful to others and to my husband and to my son. And I am still growing up. Like I said, I'm going to be 62 years old. I'm still making mistakes. There's many people in here who've seen me make mistakes. And, you know, I'm just trying to do the best I can. I'm trying to be better all the time. I say the prayer that Patty always says, and it's, God, please let others treat me tomorrow the way that I treated them today. Heck, I'm going to have a good day tomorrow. I'm telling you. God bless.